It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast as we react to a draft. Elliot, so for those who don't know, if you were not listening to our radio show, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. was picked like three seconds after. We're doing our show. We're out. We're talking all picks on the air, all that. We're talking, oh, is Trotter going to get picked, whatever. Literally, it's like, all right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bang.
Right
after.
Jeremiah
Trotter Jr. Yeah. So Elliot's like, Elliot goes, should we go back on the air? I'm like, our show's over. Yeah. Marcus is up. Like, we can't. Like, this is not our
thing. It was the literal second after we left the air. It was also.
So now we can talk about it.
Yeah, no, I know. And it was the one pick where we were saying it would be worth. You know, yeah. We hope they would make it now.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to start with your thought on it? Or
first and foremost.
There's a bunch to get into.
Yeah. Obviously, as we talked about on the show on Saturday, I was thrilled with the draft up until the Trotter pick. I'm not, you know, happy. Sure. Right. Look, I think with the Trotter pick, I think it's fun. Like, it is super fun to bring this kid in.
Yeah.
His dad, the whole thing. He's a fifth round pick. You know, so I don't expect anything out of him. If he gives you something, that's amazing. But at that point, why not in the draft?
So,
you know?
I talked Ike Reese.
And it's a need, too.
Yeah, it's a need. So I did a live stream with Ike Reese, which is
in the feed. Check it out.
He was really good talking about him and obviously has a really unique perspective.
Well, does he know?
I think his family was with the Trotters the night before.
Nice. Yeah.
But regardless, so I have two main thoughts on the Jeremiah Trotter Jr. pick. And the one is my prevailing thought.
By the way, it is the only fifth round pick that we would possibly ever lead the podcast.
100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it just makes sense. Like,
it's fun.
Maybe,
it's nice. Maybe sports are supposed to be fun, right?
I understand that with all these draft picks, the initial instinct is, well, he's a little slow or, you know, like there's
small
a measurement.
Is,
right?
That, yeah.
Sometimes it is what it is. Like, some picks are just, it should happen. And I didn't feel this way as much before, but once it happened, it really sets in how awesome this is. And it's so cool. And you say this all the time, and I think this really applies here. Sports are just meant to be fun.
Yes.
Man. Like, think how excited Eagles fans were. I had my friends like texting me pictures of their Jeremiah Trotter jerseys. Like,
the pictures of like him with the little Eagles.
Exactly. Like welcome home. Like, yeah.
Welling up. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
This is magic.
In the video where they call Jeremiah Trotter is real Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
And Jeffrey was emotional.
Howie was too at the end. Yeah. And I actually think, on a side note, anyone that wants to know what Jeffrey's about, to me, that clip really shows it all. Like, involved in the draft, so an involved owner. But that man cares. Like, he really, really cares. And you could see it. So I think the pick's awesome. I think it's really fun. I can't wait to see him in the 54 out there. I can't wait to see Jeremiah Trotter at practice watching his son. Like, there will be really a lot of cool things.
Like, think about probably special teams at first, but he makes a tackle and does the axe.
Oh, it's going to be
unbelievable. The place will go crazy.
So, but here's the flip. Now let's talk about the player.
Well, first and foremost, because you're going to talk about the player, I want you to include this because I do think that when this pick was made, we've talked about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. coming to the Eagles for like 6 months now, a year, whatever. And we were talking like, will they use their first round pick?
They got him.
Maybe it'll be a second. Maybe it'll be a third. So like, we do have to remember, like, there was a reason this kid was there in the fifth round as well.
But I think leading into the draft, what I got wrong was, well, they wouldn't take Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because he's not super athletic for all the reasons he fell. But two players that I think he reminds me of. One, I think so, and the other one I saw in a scouting report. Scouting report compared him to T.J. Edwards. Obviously, they signed him, and he played a lot here. And he reminds me of Nakobe, just in terms of not a great athlete, but really smart instinctually, like great tackler, probably better against the run and in space than he is in man coverage. And they drafted Nakobe. Now, Nakobe fell, and maybe you could argue they were just like, let's take a flyer. But they have had linebackers that fit his profile maybe more than we want to admit. So I think they took him. I firmly believe they took him because he's Jeremiah Trotter.
100%.
But I also think he does fit the profile of what they're looking for. And here's, now that, like, you know, that he's here, he impacts the quarterback more than I thought he did. If you look at his tackle for losses, he's, I know it's not the quarterback, but getting in the backfield and sacks, he has more than I expected. He has 4 interceptions. If Vic Fangio is going to have him drop back into like a zone coverage as a linebacker, I think he's way better at that than he will be at man coverage. I think he has smart football instincts, and this will get where, you know, maybe the corny side of it, but I think it's true. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. will have a better career for the Eagles than he would have had anywhere else, just because he'll give that extra 10%. He gets it. Jeremiah Trotter will help him. I know elsewhere, he, you know, his dad would have helped him clearly. But I just firmly believe Jeremiah Trotter will have a better career in an Eagles uniform than he would have anywhere else. I think there is a specialness to him coming here that will make him a better player than he would have if he got drafted by, you know, wherever, the Steelers or something like that.
Yeah, certainly possible. Yeah. And I think that, look, to your point, in addition, it fills a need, like we talked about. I mean, they need young linebackers. They just do. I mean, Devin White, we talked about, is like the only guy that we... And Nakobe, who the hell knows if he can stay healthy? Like, that's it.
This is bad news for Nakobe.
Yeah, no, but still, Nakobe still, you know, was drafted higher and
he'll compete and all that. But
I think the thing with this pick, I think Howie deserves a lot of credit. To your point, I think they wanted to take Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I think they went into the draft saying, hey, at some point, if it works out, it'd be pretty freaking cool if we do.
Absolutely.
But credit to Howie for waiting.
Yep.
And credit to Howie for really, you know, not reaching on someone like that and letting the board play it out. And that's what makes the pick so good for me, is that, like, I'm so excited for the kid and all that, but I wouldn't have wanted them to reach just because he's Jeremiah Trotter's son.
They did not.
If they want to take him where he's supposed to go because he's Jeremiah Trotter's son, cool. Yeah. I'm okay with that, you know, especially considering the player. But I think they handled this really well, and they played the whole timing of the draft really well, and there's another example of it.
Yeah, and I also think, though, to get to the overallness of the draft, my main takeaway is, whether these players can play or not, we'll find out. We have no idea if Caleb Williams will play in the NFL. So ultimately, at this point, when you grade a draft, in my opinion,
we're going to guess he's going to play in the NFL.
I think he'll play quite a bit.
Yeah, I think he's probably
at least early. We have no idea if he'll play well.
Yes, exactly.
So they could have got the best. They could have gotten Marvin Harrison Jr. and you would have no idea. You'd feel confident, but you would have no idea. I think when you grade a draft, you have to grade off of like how they maneuvered, the value, and, you know, the decisions in terms of position. Now that the draft is over, it's pretty clear, in my opinion, how he did an excellent job over the past 3 days. Quinyon Mitchell was not my number one corner. We talked on the pod about Cooper DeJean and then also on Gobert's Radio. I was not a fan of his going in. But there's just a major difference between getting Cooper DeJean at 40 and getting him at 22, or trading up and taking him at 12 like we talked about. And also, if you look at the other players they got, I love the Hunt pick. I love where they got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And he acquired in this draft a 3rd, 4th, and 5th round pick for next year.
So real quick, I thought just that, because I saw so many people like list the picks on it.
Yeah.
I thought our buddy Jimmy Kemsky put it very succinctly, very well, just as a very easy way to say it. The Eagles entered the 24 draft with 8 picks. They added 9 players. 2 of them were arguably top 20 prospects. And they also added a 3rd, 4th, and 5th round picks.
It's absurd.
That's like such a perfect way to put it.
Exactly.
They had 8 picks coming in. They had 9 players and 3 picks for next year, including players that we're excited about. I mean, it's impressive.
Howie is excellent at maneuvering the draft.
He's one of the best I've ever seen in terms of, and we talked about a lot, but again, and we talked about how Cooper DeJean goes, first of all, the Packers trade out of the next spot because they were clearly going to take that kid. And then even still 3 straight more cornerbacks go right after that.
Yeah.
Like, first round, Howie waiting it out, waiting, knowing he could get his pick of the litter cornerback. Like, the ability, the stones, the whole thing, the reading of the draft board, the understanding, we always talk about his knowledge of the league and information gathering and all that. It was, I mean, he is again, the players have to be good.
Right.
Ultimately, in 3 years, if these guys all suck, we're going to look back and be like, crappy draft, Howie, you did a bad job. But in terms of value, of in-the-moment value and in-the-moment maneuvering, he is masterful.
And I also think what he did a good job of is he took chances, in my opinion, on special qualities. Now, let's go through the later picks. So after Jeremiah Tryon,
we've talked. If you missed, we've talked a lot about the early picks on this radio show. We'll talk more, obviously.
So Trevor Keegan, not like a super great athlete, but I'll take a chance on a guard from Michigan that was a captain for 3 straight years.
Dude, I love this pick. I love this pick.
I do too.
I don't want to get too overexcited.
Me either, but I really want to.
I love this pick.
I agree. 100%.
Dude, everything I've read about the guy, watching him, like that's the exact kind of guy. Like, I thought about, and again, he's not, you know, no one's Jason Kelce in this account, but I thought about that type of thing when Jason came in and it was Jamal Jackson's job or whatever, and it was like, who the hell is this kid? This sixth rounder, and he starts right away, and it was like, he's just got something.
100%.
I feel like this kid's got something.
And to be honest, like, I wanted a guard a ton in the draft. This scratches that itch for me. Nice. I know it's a late pick, but everything about him to me screams that he is going to be a starter. And we talked about this before the draft, and I obviously still believe it, but it really checks this box. I think personality at offensive linemen really matters.
So much.
In my experience covering offensive linemen, the ones for the Eagles that have been great have been the ones that are talkative and really comfortable in their own skin and like outgoing. Andre Dillard was not. Andre Dillard, very quiet. This dude comes on the Zoom to talk to the media. First of all, he's got a DeSean Jackson Eagles jersey,
which was awesome.
Which was an awesome move by
that
him.
As a kid, he had it. Yes, like, it's awesome. Yeah.
He has a connection to Lane through their agency. I believe they have talked. So that, I think, has going for him. And you could just tell the way he talked that he
carries himself.
Yeah, the way he's been.
It was like I talked about with Quinion, how impressed I was in just the little draft stuff we saw, but the way he carries himself felt the same way about Keegan.
He really came across to me like somebody that is going to be a great professional. Will, now, is he athletic? Like, there are questions about him and his ability to translate to the NFL, but as a person, he to me really looked like somebody that I think is going to be a pro. And to be honest, my interactions with Tyler Steen, he is much more of the Andre Dillard, like kind of like reserved, quiet type of thing. Like my Lotter right away, you could tell, boom, that guy's got the personality. Oh, yeah. Landon took a while, but he's now come out of his shell a little bit. And maybe Tyler Steen will. But Trevor Keegan to me screams in 2 years, he will be starting on the line. He'll be a personality. He'll be chugging beers down the shore. Like he very much looks and feels like someone that'll be a really good
player. I'm with you. Winner, you know, has been on winning teams. Like you said, a captain, a 4-year starter or 3-year starter, whatever it is, all that type of stuff. And then to your point, like if athleticism is the biggest holdback for him, well, pretty good to put him next to the most athletic right tackle in the league and one of the most athletic centers in the league, right? Like to help kind of make up for that.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, I'm with you. It's hard. Like I'm trying. It's like the Trotter thing where it's like we're excited about the name and the story and all that, but it's like I don't want to go too overboard. And I'm excited about the fit and the player, but I want to go too overboard on a 5th round pick. I feel this way about Keegan, but I just find myself being like, I love this pick.
And that's what I think has changed about Howie as a drafter. Because I do try to caution myself sometimes where, okay, Howie makes the move, so all of a sudden I'm like, what a move. Like Howie's not infallible. He makes mistakes. And there have been years where Howie has made picks, and we've come on the pod.
Nakobe!
And
now you weren't as crazy about it, but I went nuts when they got Nakobe, and it hasn't worked out so far.
Right, well, but 100%, but I meant more. There have been years where Howie's made picks, and we've come on and said, I don't know about Rager.
Oh,
you know,
totally.
You know, like where the logic didn't make sense. I can see the logic in all of these. So we can move. Like, I think Keegan makes a ton of sense.
I like the athletic center in the sixth round.
So I actually don't like him.
Look, if you're going to take a center in the sixth round, why not take the most athletic one?
He just seems small to me, but who knows? Sure. Yeah.
Kelce was small too.
Agreed. So the next pick I really like is Johnny Wilson, the big, tall wide receiver.
This is an all-time why not.
Yeah. The dude's like 6'7".
Why wouldn't you take measurables at that point in the draft?
Right. And that's what I think the smart thing is late in the draft.
Like the longest arms in the draft too, right? Or something like that. Yeah. All the receivers, longest arms, 6'7". And he runs what, 4.5 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
He's quick. Like,
quick for that size.
And they Howie and Nick talked about it after the draft because it was thoughts maybe you move him to tight end. And they said a major difference to them was the way his lower body moves and his inability to get in and out of cuts is different than what you would see from a tight end. So again, late round pick. Like I really like Joseph Ngata a lot still, the receiver they signed last year out of Clemson, also a big body guy. But Johnny Wilson is definitely someone you take a chance on. He just is. Like
if you excelled at Florida, struggled before, went to Florida State, excelled there.
Yeah,
you know?
Now drops are an issue for him. He's dropped the ball quite a bit. But the good news is he is not going to be expected whatsoever to play. I mean, there are, you know, 4 or 5 receivers ahead of him. I mean, Johnny Wilson.
He might be a practice squad
probably,
guy.
Probably, yeah. Ultimately. Now, if he has a really good training camp, who knows if he gets
You're right. I mean, we haven't talked. We've kind of just mentioned them as they've gone and stuff. But all of a sudden, like, obviously, they've got our two studs locked up. But, like, A, the battle for the slot receiver spot, and then the battle for whether it's five or six wide receivers on the roster. I mean, they brought in Paris Campbell. They brought in Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted Smith out of Texas A&M.
They drafted OZ still here. They got all these guys, and then they drafted Smith and M. Wilson. Like, all of a sudden, there's a lot of guys and bodies for these spots.
It's same as corner in a lot of ways. The difference is, obviously, the top two you feel a lot
better about.
Yeah, but so Smith out of Texas A&M, we didn't talk about him a ton on the radio show. Yeah. So what I like about him when I read him and I watch him is he does kind of have that dog mentality type of thing where I love that he's little and he's out there talking and he's pointing first downs. And to me, he didn't look as fast as you would want somebody that size to be, but he is elusive after the catch. Reading about him, it seems like he's very good, at least getting off the line of scrimmage, which is important for his size. Like what I read a lot in his scouting reports was there's no wasted steps on his get off. He like knows what he's doing. He knows how to attack a cornerback and he knows how to get space. Now it'll be hard in the NFL because he's small. He is, I think, 5'8 or 5'9.
Yeah, something like that.
But also, and I think this speaks to his mentality, one thing I read a lot about him was he's a very willing blocker in the running game. And now that'll be harder for him, obviously, in this league because the players are better. But if he's a willing blocker at that size, that really says a lot to me about his personality. Really good hands, which is very encouraging. Like, he's also viewed as a bit of a gadget guy. I don't know if I love the idea of Nick and Kellen Moore like cooking up like double reverses, to be honest. But
yeah, especially when as we've talked about, you have the best group of skill position players we've ever seen on the Eagles.
And I swear, this is a bit off topic. Does it feel like the Eagles have ever been good at trick plays other than the Philly special?
No. The Philly special is like the only time.
Right, like any double reverses or running back. Maybe it's because they had Rager doing it and he wasn't that good.
But you're so right. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're a team that's good at that.
I agree with that.
But I like the logic of that pick. I really want him to draft a receiver. I would have taken Troy Franklin.
It is funny because that's kind of what you wanted. They did it in late rounds. They got linemen and they got wide receivers late.
It's almost like they did a lot of what I would have done, but just different guys. Yeah. Like I was fine with a corner 22 once the guards were gone, but I would have taken
Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid or whatever.
Like late round receivers, I would have taken Troy Franklin and Brendan Rice over these two. Yep. But I think they were correct to address those positions. So. Yeah, 2 years from now, we'll have to see who's a better talent evaluator.
And look, to Howie's credit, and he talked about, and I think we're going to get to Mekhi Becton, but like clearly they wanted to add offensive line.
Yeah.
But to Howie's credit, he didn't force it, and he didn't make a trade because he felt like he had to go up and get an offensive lineman in the moment. He was like, you know what, Noah, like there's a lot of good offensive linemen here, but I like these corners too, and like was able to not, and again, we talk about that so much with the best player available and all that, but that's what you want, you know, especially because they did address needs. It's not like they didn't.
Yeah.
It's not like he took like, you know, two running backs.
Yeah.
Or
pure tackle.
Pick. Who went before, but either way, point being. So I just think Howie, you know, we've given him a lot of credit for the moving around. And it is very funny that we gave him so much credit on night one, standing pat, reading the board. Great job, you make a trade. And then he sets the record for trades in a draft over the next 2 days.
Oh, yeah, good point.
8 trades, the most ever, ties the record. So it's just so funny because it's like, of course.
He's so
good at it.
He's so detailed.
But I think he also deserves a lot of credit, not just for the maneuverability, because we know he's great at that. We know he's great at the trades and the value, but also for not forcing things in spots and really letting the draft come to him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, we'll see if those are the right decisions, right? I mean,
of course, yeah.
Like, if you trade up in the first round and Troy Fontaine, who's an awesome guard, and Quinyon can't adjust the, like, there will be that. But
Or Terrion Arnold's a stud and Quinyon isn't. And that's, I talked about on the radio show, but I love the idea that there's no hiding from these picks.
Yeah.
Like, that
he put his neck out there.
Put his neck out there. We know that Quinyon will be judged against all those other corners. Cooper DeJean against Kool-Aid and those guys who went right after him. Like, he got his pick of the litter in each of those spots with all of them on the board for the day.
Yeah.
Like, there's no hiding.
I do think, too, a criticism of Howie used to be he has to act like the smartest guy in the room. And I always used to say, well,
he usually is the smartest guy.
Yeah. But regardless, even if we disagree with some of the evaluations, I don't think there's a pick here. People are saying this about Hunt. I personally don't view that as much of a reach as other people, but whatever. I don't think there was a pick.
I get it. Like, it's like a third round pick where, you know, if he's not going to play right away, but I'm with you.
Dude is like an athletic.
I think that was the right time to take that kind of risk.
Yeah. But there's no head scratchers. It feels like over the past few years, especially when you started taking like SEC guys everywhere, we would maybe, you know, say, well, Jalen Carter, you know, he fell for a you could do it. Like Devontae's skinny. But ultimately, there were not moves where you go, I can't believe he did this. As in past years, like taking Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
No doubt.
I think there have been head scratchers, and he's gotten better, in my opinion, at not doing like a wild out of the box thing and more just kind of maneuvering and making decisions that make sense to me.
Yeah, no, it makes, I think that's a really good point. I think that, and again, this is conjecture, but based on what we've seen, I think Howie's kind of gotten past that having to prove everyone wrong or having,
yeah.
I think Howie is finally feels comfortable with who he is and what
he does.
I was
just thinking that.
And
way,
confident,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's like, I don't need to like prove it to anybody. I'm just going to go out and be good at this.
Well, and part of it too is he's just done it more than a
yeah.
lot of GMs.
Well, that too,
like,
yeah.
He is the poster
big
child.
Reps, guys.
Yeah, he is the poster child for believing in somebody and sticking with them. I mean, and to tie in Nick with this, you know, Nick will really from keeping his job clearly, but if they keep Nick for 2 or 3 more years, like he's already been through so much as a head coach. How he's been through so much as a GM, I think there's a calmness where.
Well, this is the whole thing with the NFL. It's with players too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's like if you gave a coach 5 years in a spot,
right.
Like yeah, he'd probably get better at it because you
right.
learn and you get better. And but they don't have that. They don't. Most are not afforded that type of time. It's the same
yeah.
thing with players and systems and all this stuff where it's like let them grow, let them learn. It's like sorry, can't
right.
do it.
Well,
you know?
too. You know, we talk a lot about the draft and what you would do. The pressure of actually having to decide has to be wild. You know,
oh,
like
I know. When
sitting
you're in
a
the
room
moment
with everybody and it's like, all right, we're up. Are
dude,
you taking,
dude,
are you, like, are you taking Quinion or are you taking Kool-Aid?
Dude, I like get like anxiety making fantasy picks in
yes.
fantasy drafts.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine these are real players in real lives and real life.
Right.
Oh my God. 100%.
But I think his reps and his confidence, and for as much as we joke that Lurie will never fire him, there is a level of that probably really helps him make decisions.
Well, to your point, it lets him, and again, he's gotten much more calculated, but allows him to take risks.
Yeah.
It allows him to maybe do what he thinks is right as opposed to what, you know,
yep.
other people might think and all that.
I'm Brett Boone, host of, you guessed it, the Brett Boone Podcast. All season and all off season long, I bring on friends, teammates, broadcasters, everyone in between for in-depth conversations about baseball, life, and a lot more. You'll get our thoughts on current happenings in the MLB, hot sports topics, and a look into my life after baseball. Catch the Brett Boone Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to, do we have any more draft? Yeah, coming up in a minute, we're going to get to Mekhi Becton, the John Ross stuff, and if there are any other draft stuff to do.
Yeah, but, dude, let me tell you, it feels like summer outside.
It is awesome.
And it's hot. It's going to be like 90-something today.
What?
It's still April, which is wild.
90-something in April?
I know. It's going to feel like 95.
Wow.
I can't wait to tan.
That is
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay on my roof and tan.
I'm excited for you,
buddy. But it's also spring cleaning time, and spring weather means it's critical to check the status of your home's windows. And you have to ask yourself some questions. I want you to do this. Go to your window and say, are they cracked or leaking? Hopefully not. Hope your window's feeling better, by the way. Are they open or will they stay open? That would be a major flaw with a window if it literally wouldn't open or stay open. That'd be a fix right away thing. Do your seals tighten to keep out the pollen and the bugs? That would also suck.
That would suck.
Bugs
yeah.
are constantly coming in
not
your house.
Not good. Nothing worse than bugs in your house.
You know, to be honest,
nothing
I'm way
worse.
Better with it than Kristen is.
I hate it.
I'm very calm about it. I see it and I'm like, you know what? Bugs are going to get in.
Live your life.
Yeah.
Bug.
I'm Ooh. Not a, but I do kill bugs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes you have to.
Yeah.
I don't like to kill anything, but if I have
Agreed.
To. Agreed.
I'm pretty comfortable with it. Like,
sure.
I'll just pick it up with a
napkin. Proud of you, buddy.
Thank
proud
you.
Of you.
I don't, well, maybe it's not a proud thing. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure someone out there is like listening and saying that's a
murderer.
Exactly. Yeah. But regardless, one thing you can't feel comfortable with is bad windows. And if you have bad windows, you have to call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com because right now, Window Nation is offering buy two windows, get two free, plus. Zero down, zero interest, no payments for 24 months. And Window Nation's professional installation team has over 10 years of experience. Their average installer has over 16 years experience. Talking about experience now, right? Like they know what, they're going to come to your house and know what the issue
like
is.
Like the Howie Roseman of
they're
window
installers.
They're
basically 100%.
Yeah.
And have installed over 20,000 windows. Truly an
Think
absurd.
Think about that. How many years would Howie have to be a drafter to draft 20,000 players? Like. A couple hundred, few hundred?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you could stay alive that long.
That's the point.
They can install your new Windows in one day or less, so that's good to know as well. You can get it done. Window Nation windows come with a lifetime warranty, and with proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and you can too. I wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation. I simply would not be doing it if I didn't have complete trust in them, and it is awesome getting DMs from people hearing how well it goes. It does make me feel better about having them be part of the pod. So get a free no obligation quote now. It's easy. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule. And as always, tell them James Seltzer sent you.
Oh, look
just
at that.
Just tell them James. Just say James. Just that's hey, what yeah, the people
yeah,
want to
yeah,
hear.
Yeah.
Say James. And if that doesn't work at first, you can throw in Go Birds. And then go to also ESP. That would be my power
people,
order. Yeah.
People know ESP.
People like James.
Yeah, people like Elliot.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I like Elliot. That's all I care about.
Window Nation likes Elliot.
Yeah, Window Nation's the best. All right. Before we get to Becton and Ross and kind of looking ahead a little bit, anything else from the draft? We talked about Will Shipley a little bit on the radio, but not a ton. You've had more time with that. And then not a lot of buzz with the undrafted guys. Normally it feels like
how he does. Yeah, exactly.
So like your thoughts on kind of the last part, Shipley, the last part of the draft, the undrafted.
Well, they added a safety out of LSU, a running back out of Georgia. I like taking chances on those guys. What Howie said was, and it's well, we said this too, they have so many players on the roster already, there wasn't going to be a real ability. His strategy was at the end of the season to add guys off of practice squad as opposed to adding undrafted free agents. Interesting strategy.
Yeah.
I like it. You know, sure. I mean, these guys have been in the NFL buildings. Obviously, they're not on a roster yet, but I think you probably have a better chance of hitting on one of those guys than an undrafted guy. This class, as we said, was not viewed as very deep. So an undrafted guy, you're really kind of just
stretching it.
Yeah. So I like that strategy. And this is a team that, for all the holes they're perceived as having, there's just not a ton of open roster spots. Like, there's going to be a lot of competition, but those are already set. It's going to be really hard for a UDFA to come onto this roster and make it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So any thoughts on the Shipley pick itself? Because you have more time to really
look at it. I don't really have a ton of thoughts. Like, the highlights I watch of him, he looks awesome. People were mad at me on Twitter because I said he could pass block. It looks like he's a willing pass blocker. Now, he is undersized. We'll see if he can do it in the NFL. I like that he can catch the ball, so I feel good about the pick. There were other running backs I might have considered, but, you know, Corey from Columbus made this good point, and it's true. When he played Florida State, which is one of the best defenses he faced, he had an awesome game. So I think he's worth taking a chance on.
All right. Any other thoughts on the draft before we look to the Becton pick and some of the stuff coming up for him?
I'm kind of in on the Michael Penix pick. I'm changing my mind. I'm changing my mind just a little bit.
Should have led the pod with
just
this.
Just a little
bit. Explain.
I mean, it worked for the Packers with Jordan Love. I know he's later, and it's a different value.
30th or 26th.
For sure. I don't know.
He had not just signed Aaron Rodgers. He's
100%. Yeah. But if you think Michael Penix is awesome, like, Kirk Cousins could get hurt at any point. He's coming off of an Achilles. I wouldn't have done it, but much like with, and this is a less extreme example, much like going with Quinyon Mitchell over Kool-Aid, I respect somebody just being like, you know what, man?
Putting yourself out there. Yeah. I get it. My biggest issue was how they handled it.
Yeah, right? Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
You don't sign Kirk Cousins, take Penix with the eighth pick, and tell Cousins
and don't
on
tell
the phone.
Him. Yeah.
Like, you clearly were thinking about it. Like, you talked to Cousins before the drafts even start.
Yeah,
like,
100%.
I think the whole way they handle it. And then on top of that, I have no problem with picking Penix at 8. Like, don't sign Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Like, just, Penix is 26. Like, draft him at 8 and let him play.
I agree.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's not 26.
Penix is 26
really?
Years old, I believe. I could be wrong.
Tucker, you should look that up.
Is he 26 years old?
I think he's 24.
Yeah, I don't think
he's 26. Maybe it's going to be 26 when he starts.
Well, everyone's going to be 26 eventually.
No. I'm saying he's going to be 26 if it's 2 years. Yeah, he's 20. I believe he's 24.
Turns 24 on May.
Yeah, so he's 23. My point was, he's going to be 26 when he starts. If they're two guaranteed years of Kirk Cousins, you never know.
Yeah, I mean,
but if the Cousins thing plays out the way they suppose it would, he's going to be starting
at
26.
Well, the Cousins thing could end up being the biggest waste of money ever. Like, can you imagine if Penix comes in and Cousins like misses a game and he's awesome? Like,
just
that's it.
I just don't get it. Like, look.
It's fun.
Trade back. I don't know.
I mean, maybe they thought he was going to go.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Look.
I also think whenever everyone on Twitter hates a move, it usually ends up working.
Yeah.
So Michael Penix is going to win a Super Bowl for the Falcons.
That's some logic right there.
It's just a matter of when.
I can't get behind it. But I get the basic idea of, like, if you love a quarterback at that position,
yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But I just...
It is wild.
They did it in a still horrible wild. Way.
Yeah.
I like that, though, that you're in on it.
Yeah, the more I hear people hate on it, the more I see the logic.
Any thoughts on Washington, New York, and Dallas and what they did? I know that...
Not really.
Mel Kiper's grades. Eagles got one of only two A's from
them in
Arizona. Gannon.
Yeah.
But Washington was an A minus, one of the other highest grades. So it seemed like a lot of people liked the Washington draft for what it's
worth. I mean, I still think Washington and the Giants are pretty far away. The Giants passing on a quarterback I thought was a mistake. I would have drafted one at six. But yeah, I think those teams are so far away. And then the Cowboys, I mean, they added Guyton in the first round. Like, I don't know. I still think the Eagles and Cowboys are neck and neck. I don't view any game changes.
Let's get to the Becton move. So today, find out the Eagles signed Mekhi Becton was the 11th pick in the 2020 draft for the Jets. Great personality, has had real injury issues, has struggled.
Weight issues,
struggled with his weight, and has struggled to perform on the field as a result. Yeah. Obviously super talented, you know, and he had weight issues coming into the draft.
Yeah.
Like that was, he was huge coming out of Louisville.
Him and Jordan Davis.
Yes. Perfect.
Diet.
But you know, at the same time, you know, they quote unquote signed him to be the swing tackle. So, you know, to sign him to be a backup, I think that makes a ton of sense considering the roster and where they're at. And look, there is no other position coach in the league that Adam Schefter is tweeting out. The position coach wanted this guy, so they signed him.
Yeah.
Like, just to show where Adam Schefter tweeted out Jeff Stoutland wanted him.
Yeah.
Like, that never happens anywhere else. So I thought that was fascinating. But your thoughts on the Becton move, the fit, and look, Stout wanting him, what that could mean.
I'm always willing to give Stoutland a chance.
Me too.
If Stoutland wants somebody.
He's a talented guy.
Now, he's not.
Talk about, like, take a fifth rounder. Like, you're giving him, like, a talent.
He has not been good. Now, he missed all.
He's actually been bad.
He's been bad, exactly. So he missed all of 2022 with a knee injury. Now, did come back and play 95% of the snaps last year, which is encouraging. Everything you read is that he's lost a ton of weight, which is, I'm happy for him in general, but also as a player, that's a positive. The only thing that surprised me was, and I'm guessing the up to is doing a lot of work here, but up to $5.5 million was a little surprising. I mean...
It's not $5.5 million.
My guess is it's $1.5 million guaranteed, and if he starts 17 games or whatever,
it's probably what it
is. But I wonder, and I'll try to find this out, if it's enough money where he's definitely making the roster. If it's a situation where you're going to bring him to camp, see how he does, but you still have the ability to cut him, then I like it a lot more. If they are saying to him, you are going to be our backup tackle at both spots, then I don't like it as much. Because as much as I like Stoutland, Becton has been bad, and maybe he just is not good. Stoutland is good. He's close to it, but he's not a miracle worker. So I do think that you have to look at this. Sorry, did you just clap?
No.
Okay.
I heard that too.
I thought you were clapping at the pick. In my analysis, I was like, I appreciate that.
You're just on a roll.
Thank you.
Completely derailed.
I like that.
I apologize.
Clap for us more. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Live studio audience.
Yeah. Clap your hands, some might say.
Oh.
That's
a fun team.
Yeah, exactly. So my Becton thing is, I like the taking chance on it. I like bringing him in. I'm okay with them giving him money. I don't like it as much if it's he is going to be our backup swing tackle.
Yeah.
You have to have him come in and show he's good before. Then, like, Fred Johnson has been here all year. I don't feel considerably better about Becton than I do Fred Johnson.
No, other than the fact that he's got way more upside and talent in his body than
but
Fred Johnson.
It's been 4 years.
Yeah, but still, I mean, I'm with you. Look, they don't have a lot of tackle help here. It's LaRaven Clark and Fred Johnson. So, like, I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it, too. I just don't want him guaranteed the job. Like, he might be bad.
Look, if he's a disaster, he's not going to make the roster one way or another.
Like, unless they've given him $4 million, which I'd be surprised.
I doubt they have. I just would be surprised.
I feel the same way about Becton as I do John Ross. I think bringing in John Ross.
Oh, see, I like the Becton move way more than John Ross.
I think it's the same thing. It's a former pick that is not panned out.
I have never liked John Ross. I've never been in on John Ross. I said it last when we were talking about the Like I, in that draft, I couldn't believe he went ninth.
Right.
Like, all the guy does is run. That's it. Like, this guy is not good.
Right.
He's yet to be good, and he's always hurt.
Becton is also not good.
No, I know, but Becton was
a better player than Ross, I guess.
He was a more recent first round pick. And if nothing else, I just have way more faith in Stoutland. Like, the point is,
fair.
Like, I believe that Stoutland can take, whereas John Ross, it's like, sure, whatever.
Where I fall on both of them is, I like taking chances in the offense.
I do too.
On former
first round picks,
it's a
I agree.
Smart
Ross
thing.
Is just so much further from being a first, you know, it just feels like, what was Ross, 2017, 2018?
Well, what's funny is, I actually remember talking to John Ross at the Children's Hospital in Temple's campus.
Really?
Yeah, I did like a draft event where a bunch of the picks were there. I was a big John Ross guy. I was very.
For 2017.
Yeah.
The
I was a big John Ross.
Yeah,
so that was the Barnett.
It
was the Barnett draft.
Yeah,
yeah.
It must have been. Well, that would have been the 2017.
Yeah, 2017 was Barnett.
Right, so really.
They hadn't won the Super Bowl yet. They won the Super Bowl technically in 18.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But clearly it's a 2017 season.
No, that's right.
So I feel, look, take chances. They don't need either guy. I think they need help on the backup offensive line more than they need receivers.
I agree. Clearly. Yeah, well, we just listed all those guys at receiver.
I just hope, and I don't think they are.
They don't
I would
have
just
that
hope
dynamic.
They're not committing themselves to Becton as the guy no matter what. Because if he got up to $5.5 million and he had other options, you would imagine there was some level of promise. I trust Stoutland to make it work, but I want to see him be good before I'm like, great signing that's going to be a tough backup.
I agree, but at the same time, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah.
And even if it is, it won't be $5.5 million, but let's say it's like four, which is too much for that. Like,
it's also Lurie's money. Who cares? I just don't think it should guarantee
him a job. And it's a one-year
deal. What's nice about
it, I'm fine with not guaranteeing him a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no doubt.
What's nice about it is he is young enough where if he does come here and he is awesome, he turns his career around. In theory, if Lane decides to retire, he checks some of the same boxes as taking a tackle in the first round. Mm-hmm.
No, older, there's you know, tons of upside
differences,
there.
But
yeah, there's tons of upside.
He could play 5 years at the position and still be relatively young. I mean, what is he, probably 28, 27?
I think he's younger than that, yeah.
Well, he's been in the league for 4 years.
I think he's 26 or 27, maybe?
Yeah,
27?
I think he has at least 3 or 4 more good years in his body. If
Let's see. He is
a lot of age
25,
guessing,
buddy. I thought
wow,
he was way
so
younger.
He came out
I
really
thought
young.
He was way younger.
Right, so if he's here all next year, let's say he's 26, if Lane, God forbid, knock on wood, were to retire. In theory, if Stoutland really turns him around, he could be a long-term tackle for you.
Yeah, Stoutland took a guy who'd never played football
before. Dude, I like the signing. I just, he has not played well. So
No. He's been flat out bad. There's no other way.
I think he had something like, he gave up 12 sacks
last
year.
Oh, he's a disaster.
50 pressures. Now, he's playing with a bad quarterback. He's playing in a bad system. He was playing with a bad head coach, bad offense coordinator. Those things really do matter.
No doubt.
So he's in a better situation.
Yeah, and bad players around him. All right. Anything else on the draft?
No. I feel good about it.
Good.
For having gone in not wanting them to take a corner and them having taken two corners with the first two picks, I feel better than I thought I would.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yay.
Just being honest. Not going to hold a grudge.
All right.
You know?
So what's next for the Birds? Like, what's the schedule? Because we're going into that. We're finally reaching that kind of a lull. There aren't many lulls in the Eagles
year. Yeah, there's a bit of a lull.
But right now, and then we got training camps a little bit down the road and all that.
Rookie mini camp. The rookies will come to the building, I believe, this week. They'll start to, you know. Oh, real quick. Cooper DeJean has to get a great number. I think if you put him in, like, 43 or some bad number, I think that really hurts his career.
Well, Sidney Brown's 43, right?
Yeah, it's a bad
Isn't
number.
He? It's, I agree.
No,
it's a bad
he's
number.
Not 43.
Isn't
I think he was in camp and then he switched.
Did he switch?
I'm almost positive he's not 43. I think Mekhi Gardner was 43.
He might be right, yeah.
Yeah. I would go 27 for Quinyon Mitchell. Just sorry, Zach McPherson.
Give him. Well, I was in that Malcolm Jones.
Malcolm's number, yeah. And then I'd go 23 for Cooper.
Well, it was three.
Or you could reverse those if That's you want. Fine. Now, 23 Eli Ricks currently has. You know I love Eli Ricks, but sorry, buddy.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it is what it is.
Yeah, the dude was a second round pick. Like, it just is what. But you have to have them in good numbers. What do you think about 7 on either of them?
I don't love it.
No, I don't love it. No. I don't think 7's good in the Eagles.
Not a good defensive back either.
Yeah, I didn't like it on Reddick. It ended up working out, but I don't think you can put them in 7.
I agree. What about his college? Oh, 3's already taken, so I guess he gets
now, I do think there would be like a argument for Nolan Smith giving up on 3. First rookie year didn't go well. He'd be awesome in 3.
Yeah.
But I don't think that'll happen.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. All right. Final thoughts.
You want to go first?
I do. Sure. I just have a quick one. I just have a Zoe line. Here we go. So we were waiting for her cousin. Her cousin was coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And all she had to do was wait like the day. The cousin came like 4 o'clock. It was supposed to be earlier. And she just kept like asking.
Right.
And she goes, you know, she's like, oh, come on. When is Sawyer going to be here? She goes, man, I really thought I'd be partying already. I was like,
hey,
what? You what?
So, yeah, that'd be a good teacher.
That's my daughter.
I really thought I'd be partying already.
I really thought I'd be partying already.
Yep,
loves her cousin.
Feels like how I feel as a Sixers fan.
No,
I really thought I'd be partying by now.
Hey, do you want like a minute just to...
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks. I don't know what to say. Now, I will say the series, I firmly believe this, have been all coin flip games. Like, it could be 2-2, it could be 3-1,
so
it could be 4-0.
It's
been an awesome series.
Awesome series. Like,
awesome.
Crappy
dude,
as a Sixers fan.
The beginning
fan,
of that game yesterday.
Dude, these games are back and forth and fun and entertaining.
The
and
crowd
action.
Was awesome.
I think it's super fun.
And I actually don't think Embiid and Maxey have come up small. Like, they have in certain spots, but it's not
no
show.
No. It's the much bigger issue is that there's no one else on the team.
Yes. Yeah. And I honestly think these are two of the best teams in the Eastern. I think it's the Celtics, the Knicks, and the Sixers are clearly the three best teams in the East.
I think it's... Yeah,
right? And
really
it's unfortunate
it's
a first-round series. Yeah. It is what it is. But it would just be so nice if some of these games over the years would just break the Sixers way. They just don't. Like, I don't know what to say. Embiid, I mean, 1 point in the fourth, it sucks. And I know he played the whole second half, so you're like, well, he's tired. I can't have my best player being somebody that gets tired. And
exactly.
And it's not his fault. He's a big guy. He's coming off an injury. He's dealing with Bell's palsy. I get all that. But ultimately, and this is like deep final thought, and I hate myself for saying this, the difference between him and Jokic is Jokic is in the fourth quarter. He's the same guy he is in the first quarter. And I think part of it is because like he's not as athletic, so he's not moving around as much. He doesn't put his body at risk as much. Embiid, I can't have my best player being tired in the fourth. It's not an excuse. And I'm also
especially when he's a player who can't, like, it doesn't bring the ball up the court. So like you have to get the ball. He has to like work to get open. Yeah. He has to work to make.
And it sucks because he's so talented. Yep. He is so talented. I think he is better than Jokic.
He's incredibly talented.
Right. And I think just what also, I'm so sick of the tweets about, well, Embiid has had a positive plus minus in his last 11 playoff losses. Like, I'm past that at this point. Yeah. We want to do plus minus. He was minus four in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
He had 1 point in the
That's
fourth
well
quarter.
That's well said.
And exactly right. Look, is it true that when he's off the court, the team falls apart? Yes. Yep. That is not his fault. But part of the fault is he is a center that can't play all these minutes. Brunson played almost every minute of the second quarter, besides those few he missed with his ankle. Yeah. It's just easier for a guard. Yep. And it sucks that Embiid is so talented, but his body, like, the last thing is, going into the playoffs, my concern was, would Embiid show up in these moments? Leaving the playoffs, I feel better about Embiid's mental toughness
you
than
just
I did
don't
going
think
in.
Physically
I think
can.
I'm worried like we're reaching the end stage of his body being able to do it.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It really sucks.
Yeah,
like,
it really sucks.
He's had a great career. He'll be a Hall of Famer. I'll remember his time as a Sixer fondly mostly, but like, well, it feels like the body is finally
dude, getting. I had that
and
thought.
It's unfortunate.
I said to Emily, and it was really sad. But after game three, I said to her, I'm like, I'm just really happy I saw that.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a real chance that is the greatest Joel Embiid playoff moment I'll ever see.
What sucks is I didn't really see it because it was during the draft. But
I know.
You're right. Like, that
you
was,
know what I mean? Like, that was his best game ever.
And ultimately,
put him 50 on 19 shots. It was unbelievable.
Their problem is they can do it for two games. They can do it for three games. They just cannot do it against a good team for four. And part of that is
And then much less 4-4-4-4.
Exactly.
Four, yeah.
And part of it is just their top player. It's not that he's not good enough. And I think he's been mentally tough. Like, I give him credit for playing through this.
Yeah,
Bell's palsy.
Yeah.
Sounds awful. Like, I hate when something on my face is bothering me. It distracts me to no end.
Yeah.
But it's just never going to happen. I don't know what to say. Like, I think they're going to lose on Tuesday.
Yeah. You said this before the pod, and I'm so with you. Like, I think if they, like, go down early,
it'll
like,
fall
I think
apart.
They could lose by 30, like, game seven.
And they've fought
Boston.
Hard the first 4 years.
Dude,
they have fought hard. I don't
have dudes.
I don't think the Knicks are tougher than they are by any stretch. No. I don't think the Knicks are trying harder.
I do think the
Knicks are great rebounders.
Yeah,
it's a skill.
They are, but they also, I think they are, it's not that they're trying harder. I just think the Knicks are more active, and the Knicks are more.
Well, they have better players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I mean,
and I was
like
thinking they have more athletic players, so it's easier. Like, Nicholas Batum, and credits him for trying to dunk so much, but like, he's 35. Embiid can barely run. Like, they have Oubre and Maxey, and then Lowry's really old, too. So it just is what it is.
It is what it
it's
is.
Unfortunate.
It's a shame.
Yeah. Go sign somebody fun.
Yeah. And got to watch Jokic win another title. It's going to be tough.
Whatever. I'm over it at this point.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. So, actually, speaking of this is my final thought. I kind of think if you're making a prediction for a series, you should either pick a sweep one way or the other.
I like that.
The team is either better or it's not.
That's a good take.
I think
that's not the way it works, but I like that.
But I think picking anything other than a sweep is a hedge.
Okay.
So if I go into a series and I think the Sixers are better than the Knicks, I should pick the Sixers in four. Otherwise, you're basically just being like, well, I could be wrong. Like, no. I think if you think the team is better, then they should win every game. And I'm not
The way it works.
I know, but do you see the logic
like
a little? If the team is better, there's no reason you should be
very
like,
little.
I think they're really good in game
very
one.
Very little, but you also just know the way that NBA series
I know,
work.
But you're picking the better team. So
you just say, I pick them to win. Just don't pick games in that case. And don't
maybe
say,
that's
you know, just be like, the Sixers are winning.
Yeah. Boom. Well, look, I'm going to London and Barcelona.
Hey.
I'm going to see Leeds.
Have fun. It's going to be awesome.
I'll have lots of final thoughts coming back.
Yeah. So, and we will have one more pod tomorrow.
Yeah.
That probably won't be up tomorrow. Maybe it'll be up later in the week. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But either way, we will get one more pod in before Elliot goes, and we'll have all kinds of content while he's going.
Yes.
And again, it's the right time. You pick the lull.
Yeah. Should be good. Man, go ahead. I just, the pain of the Leeds, whatever. Go ahead. Whatever.
The whole relegated.
Yeah, it's just, man, the pain of the team you want to win losing is so painful.
I know, buddy.
It wears on you. You think about it. You want to avoid it. Yeah. It's like an empty feel. Like, it
it's
is.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, good luck. Hopefully Leeds doesn't let you down too bad in person. That'll be tough.
Oh, it's not going to be fun.
We'll talk more about your trip tomorrow.
Yeah.
Great job, Howie. I mean, we'll see how these players are, but this was good stuff. We'll be back tomorrow or later in the week to talk a little bit more.
Until then. You like that?
I thought you were going to do it.
No, I was laying it up.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Okay.
So until then.
He's Elliot M. James.
Boom.